And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I'm GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns, and we welcome you guys back to this preview edition of a very, very important game for Minnesota in this Big Ten schedule when they take on the Purdue Boilermakers this weekend, a team that has been exceeding expectations through the first four games of their season. And Minnesota comes in reeling off a tough loss at home. So, Luke, we have a very important game to get into.
Yeah, so this will be an interesting game. I think we were talking a little bit before we started recording, and these two teams could not be any dissimilar. Like, they could not be further from they're similar in that they both want to control the clock, but they're very different in how they want to control the clock. And we'll get into it significantly more, but you know, Minnesota wants to run the ball all the time and Purdue just wants to throw it all the time. So let's start on offense probably. And let's start with injuries, because we always start with injuries, because that's a huge part of football. So injury wise, where are we at with Minnesota, Ryan?
I don't anticipate Jared Weiler or Antoine Winfield being back for this game. Antoine Winfield, Fleck kind of alluded to it, but again, you're never going to get an actual injury explanation or timeline from PJ Fleck. I mean, we talked about it. We went from having no idea that Demetrius Douglas was out with an ankle, and that was something that was known throughout the game week of Maryland in terms of, you know, he's going to be out, yet Fleck never mentioned it. We get to Saturday, 60 minutes before kickoff. Oh, Demetrius Douglas isn't dressed. Oh, he's got something on his right foot. And then it comes to the post-game presser. Yeah, he's going to be out. And then the day later, yeah, he's going to be out for the year. So, again, you're never going to get anything injury substantial with PJ Fleck, just the way it looks like it's going to be. So, but I don't anticipate Antoine Winfield playing. Again, he retweaked that same hamstring injury he had in fall camp. And I can tell you the re-aggravations never go quicker in terms of a recovery rate than the previous injury. So this looks to be probably a 2 or 3 or 4 week injury. So I'm not anticipating Antoine to be back. Darren Wolfson tweeted out this afternoon that it's looking doubtful that Jared Weiler is going to be back. So that means you're going to see Connor Olson at center, even though the depth chart would never tell you that, because good thing the depth chart doesn't mean anything as well. And that also means that Vincent Calhoun and Garrison Wright are going to continue to start at guard. The question is going to be, is Quinn Osland going to mix in a little bit more as Minnesota tries to rejuvenate an offensive line to get push up front? Again, we talked about it with Derek too, that it's not their fault because they continue to run into stacked boxes, and you can't ask five guys to block six or seven guys. So injury front, I don't think we have any good news, but we also don't have any bad news in terms of surprise injuries that we know about right now. But again, all bets are off until 60 minutes before kickoff, and then you're going to have to be monitoring social media from guys such as Andy Greeter and Randy Johnson to see who is dressed, who is not, because also – the other thing that has changed is the media in away games doesn't get a travel roster anymore. Huh. While the radio guys get one, the traveling media does not. So again, they are trying to keep everything hush-hush, which is very, very strange. And it's not a welcome change from those in the media such as myself. Because again, I know from people who went to Oregon State, they asked for a travel roster. They were denied. And then the radio guys got one, and they were not very pleased. So, again, a lot of things trying to be controlled by Coach Fleck and staff on the injury front, and just, I guess, who travels now. So we'll have to see who's out there against Purdue Saturday afternoon.
All right, so let's get into this. We already kind of alluded to it, but let's talk a little bit when the Gophers are on offense. You know, we both know that the Gophers are trying to control the clock. They're running the ball a lot. You know, they are in the top 10 in the country on standard down run rate. They're in the top 10 or top 30 in the country on passing down run rate. They're going to try and run the ball. We have no reason to believe that they aren't going to try and do that, but they haven't been particularly effective. So when we're looking at Purdue, anything that's going to change, I can't imagine so, right?
No. And Luke, while I'm talking, if you want to look at what Minnesota's pass to run ratio is, because I'm very curious, but we'll find out here, hopefully here in a couple minutes. But you mentioned it. Minnesota's going to try to run the ball. And I talked about this all week on Gopher Illustrated. They have to figure out a way to rejuvenate the running offense, because it's through four games, again, only 33% sample size, which on college football terms is actually pretty substantive. They haven't been able to get Rodney Smith or Shannon Brooks going. I have this in my preview article that is live on Gopher Illustrated by the time you read this. Minnesota's two-star running backs, Rodney Smith and Shannon Brooks, have combined for 134 carries through the first four games of Minnesota's season, and only six of their 134 carries, 4.4%, have gone for 15-plus yards, and they only have one carry over 20 yards combined between the two of them. That's less than 1% of the carries for Rodney Smith and Shannon Brooks that have been explosive. And we know that, you know, at least I think and I believe that Rodney Smith and Shannon Brooks are two of the top six probably running backs in the Big Ten, and Minnesota only has six carries of the 134 that have gone over 15 yards. That's just absurd. And we talked about it with Derek Burns. We talked about it with Luke earlier in the week, that this inside zone running scheme with no threat of a quarterback, and last week specifically, no threat of getting to the edge, that all teams are doing is playing plus one, plus two in the box. And I think Derek mentioned it on the breakdown that Minnesota's not being able to run anywhere because it's inside zone. It's not like you're pin and pull. It's not like there's a guy that you're supposed to be having come through the gap. It's basically just Rodney Smith and Shannon Brooks running into the back of Jared Weiler, Vincent Calhoun, and Garrison Wright for 3 yards in a cloud of dust. It just doesn't help anybody, and that starts with the quarterback. It starts with the offensive line, and it starts with the offensive coordinator who continues to run into stack boxes. So you got it.
Yeah,
you have the,
I do have the stat. So actually, when you look, the Gophers have attempted 84 passes on the season, and they have run the ball 187 times. So they literally have run the ball 100 more times than they have.
That percentage, you know?
I didn't do the math. I'll do it.
All right. So Luke mentions it, though. Minnesota's not going to be able to go away from the run. So what are they going to have to do against Purdue, who's actually been pretty stout against the run thus far anyway? Again, we've talked about it. They need to attack the edges. They need to mix in jet sweep, bubble screens, pin and pull, just some kind of threat to the edge. And I think some of this is also predicated on, is Demaryius Crofts back? You know, Fleck says he's back with the team. But does that mean he's out of the doghouse? If he's out of the doghouse, Connor Rhoda better be running like a madman. And when I say madman, I mean three or four times a game, because I'm not asking the world here. But when you look at Minnesota's explosive rating on Football Study Hall, they rank 118th in the rushing game out of 128 FBS teams, with two of the best running backs in the country. That's sad. It's just very, very sad, and it needs to change. And Minnesota has eight games to change their best, from their quarterback running to better play calling from the offensive coordinator to the big boys up front. So
yeah, so actually when you look at it, the Gophers are they're basically running the ball 69% of the time. It's
nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Very nice.
So very, very nice. So anyways, but Luke mentioned it to start that Minnesota, in terms of when they're running the ball, I mean, they're running it all the time. And they're running it in terms of their offensive footprint. They're running it 75% of the time on standard downs, which is like first and 10, second and 7, third and 4. And they're also running it 42% of the time on passing downs, which is like second and 8 and greater, third and 6 and greater. And that ranks 29th in the country. And again, I don't know whether that's they don't trust their quarterback. They don't trust – well, they clearly – I don't know what the deal is. But again, I think you have to start moving your way much closer to that 60-40 split to give your offense a chance. Because again, Rodney Smith and Shannon Brooks need some help. And it's going to have to start against Purdue, who's been very they've been much improved from recent seasons against them. I shouldn't say they've been very good, but I think they're about average now in the country in terms of rushing. So we're going to have to see how Minnesota tries to combat that, because it's a very important game on the road.
Yeah, the one thing that I do want to highlight when we talk offense is, you know, a lot of people are going to say, well, you know, let's blame this on the O-line, you know, the lack of explosion, whatever, where they're ranked 127th in the country. But the truth of the matter is that they're actually pass blocking phenomenally. Arguably better than anybody in the country, right? I'm trying to find the statistic, but they haven't given up a...
Yes, they've given up one sack,
yeah.
And they haven't given up a sack in a passing down situation, which is, again, two-thirds of the time a passing down is defined as third and 7 or longer, and I think like second and 8 longer. Either way, it doesn't matter. They've only given up one sack, and the pocket has been clean consistently.
Yeah, and they're literally number one in the country in passing down sack rate. Like, they're as good as it can get on passing downs. And I admit that, you know, you can take the, well, it's only four games, and oh, well, the competition hasn't been that great. The fact of the matter is, like, it's hard to pass block, and they're doing a phenomenal job. And they did last year as well. They were very, very good in passing downs. And I think in large part, I mean, that it has to do with the stacked boxes, right? Like,
sure.
These guys are having to retreat into coverage, and they're not necessarily bringing the house at all times. So,
and the other thing to note with the O-line is, again, you can't put it on the O-line necessarily, because when you look at Minnesota's power success rate and stuff rate to short yardage run rates in terms of how successful is Minnesota in either getting a first down, a touchdown on those two kind of plays, Minnesota ranks top 30 in the country in both statistics in terms of being having, you know, a successful play. Again, a first down or a touchdown, they're converting 80% of their third and shorts, fourth and shorts, and they're also doing extremely well on the stuff rate as well. So again, the offensive line is excelling in short yardage situations, some of it thanks to Shannon Brooks, who is an absolute conniver in short yardage situations. He's very successful and very effective. But again, they have to help out the O-line, and that starts with Kirk Ciarrocca. You have to be able to spread out the defense. If they're going to continue to play plus one in the box, then just continue to run play action where Connor Rhodes had all day. That means Tyler Johnson, Philip Howard, Eric Carter, Brandon Lingan need to step up and make some plays for their quarterback, but they need to start helping out their running backs. Their two best players need to get going, and if Minnesota is still going to get to a bowl game, which they should, that means that Rodney Smith and Shannon Brooks have to start having holes to run through.
Yeah, so there's two things I still want to touch on when it comes to offense. Number one is, you know, I'm starting to wonder if they're a little bit worried about Connor Rhoda throwing the ball, and that's maybe a little bit why they're a little more conservative. You know, he's thrown a couple bad interceptions. We'll give him that. He's also looked pretty good throwing the ball at times too. I don't know where their comfort level is with him, especially in play action. And I don't know if they're ready to unleash him to throw the ball, you know, 35 times a game.
Well, we're going to be getting into game 5 of 12 here, and yeah. It's now or never, you know. Mm-hmm. We're almost halfway through the season, and you have to start to trust your quarterback. Again, I understand the ball is the program. I understand that your defense isn't likely to be forcing a lot of turnovers with the lack of pressure that they're gaining from their front seven, especially when you look how they're probably going to attack them this week. So maybe you don't want to make those high risk throws, but if you're throwing a high risk one, more times than not, it's high reward. So again, they need to start unleashing something in the passing game, because again, what Kirk Ciarrocca has on tape in 16 compared to what he has in 17, I mean, I know he can be creative, and we saw it at times during the non-conference, and we didn't see it last week. And again, I don't know if it's Minnesota's just kind of playing to not lose, but they're not playing to win, and they weren't last week, and that, again, needs to change against Purdue.
All right, so you maybe highlighted this, and I just missed it, but, you know, I think from the explosion standpoint, the one thing I want to talk about is, you know, we talked last year at length about how the Gophers could not get an explosive play in the pass game. Through four games, that's not been the case with Tyler Johnson. You know, what do you say to the fan that is like, woe is me, like, why I'm not that concerned about explosion because Tyler Johnson's taken 260-plus yards?
Well, that's the issue is, again, I think you just mentioned it, that I'm trying to pull it up here. Minnesota's offense as a whole ranks 118th in the country out of 128 teams and how explosive they are. And you mention it, the comeback from some fans will be, well, what about Tyler Johnson's long two touchdowns? Yeah, those were great, but what about the other 95% of the plays that Minnesota's ran for very little gain? And again, we talked about it, if 134 of those plays are to your two stud running backs, and spoiler alert, only 4% of them are going 15-plus yards, you're not a very explosive team. And that, again, needs to start changing. And the crazy thing about it is we look at the rushing explosion. Minnesota's second to last out of all FBS teams. And then when you look at their passing, they're 19th. So, again, it's because Minnesota runs the ball for so little gain so many times, 70% of the time, that the passing game needs to continue to do more and more and more. So Tyler Johnson, again, Philip Howard, Brandon Ling, and Eric Carter, they're going to need to bring something to the table because, again, Minnesota's going to have to score because I think Purdue's going to be able to put up points.
All right, so let's look at Purdue now. So, you know, when the Gophers are on defense, they're going to be taking on arguably the most pass-happy offense in the entire country. So looking at standard down run rate, Purdue ranks 116th in the country. Looking at standard down standard pass down run rate, they rank 125th in the country. So this team doesn't run the ball at all, like literally almost not at all.
And the thing about it is, if you think about a team that's passing as much as Purdue wants to, you're like, well, it's probably a lot of quick three and outs. Actually, the stats say that that's not the case, where Purdue is their bottom 25 in the country in terms of pace, which means, yes, they're passing a lot, but they're slow. Like, they're not trying to go up tempo. They're just trying to pass the ball at a very slow rate. And so when you look at the over-under of this game, which I believe is 46 and a half, how do you get to that? Well, both teams that run are very slow in terms of they want to just drain the clock and be that, because Minnesota is 111th in adjusted pace and Purdue is 103rd, both bottom 25. So what that means is there's not going to be a lot of possessions for both teams necessarily, because both are trying to drain the clock, Minnesota trying to do it with their run, Purdue trying to do it with the pass. And so that's, if you don't have a lot of possessions, well, you don't have a lot of opportunities to put up points. But I think the big thing for Minnesota's defense, how this is going to come down to, is are they able to generate pressure with their front four? And the stats will tell you Minnesota's been really struggling with that. I looked it up on Football Outsiders Football Study Hall. Minnesota, through four games, ranks 119th out of 128 FBS teams in sack rate on passing downs, and they rank 88th on standard downs. Not good. Not good at all. So the tough part about it is, and we probably should have mentioned this as well when we're talking about the explosion of the offense, folks, the tough part about us saying that is you look at the remaining eight games, it's not going to get any easier. What I'm trying to say is it's going to get harder. So if you have an offense that was struggling to be explosive against Oregon State, Buffalo, Middle Tennessee, and Maryland, well, how are you expecting to become a more explosive offense against your next four opponents, Purdue, Michigan State, Illinois, Iowa, and then especially in November when things get even tougher with Michigan, Nebraska, Northwestern, and Wisconsin? They need to be able to find a way to be explosive. And again, this comes back around to sack rate. It's not going to get any easier to sack the quarterback against Purdue, Michigan State, Illinois, and Iowa compared to what it was in the first four games. So now, we're expecting them to take a jump because, again, this is a team more comfortable in the scheme, more comfortable throughout, but they're going to have to be able to get to the quarterback. And that's especially with Rob Smith probably going to allocate his linebackers to the secondary because of how banged up they are back there. Three of the top six from Middle Tennessee are likely going to be out. So you're going to have to give Antonio Chenault some help. You're going to have to give Kendarian Handy Holly some help in his first career start. We're going to have to see what Rob Smith's game plan is, because I know of one change I at least would make to help generate pressure, but we'll see if Rob Smith does it.
All right. So one thing I'm curious about, Ryan, is we've seen that Purdue actually will roll with two quarterbacks. David Baugh, I don't know if he's actually been hurt or not, but you know he's attempted 80 passes on the season. And and I don't know how to pronounce Elijah. Is it Sindelar? I don't know how to pronounce that last.
David Blau was out with a shoulder injury, and from talking with the Purdue guys, again, David Blau is the starting quarterback for Purdue. He had a shoulder injury that caused him to be out, and he's been practicing this week. The other thing to note there is I believe they're also going to get their starting running back, and Markell Jones, someone that hasn't played this year yet, so he's going to be back as well. Okay. Now, I kind of alluded to it there, saying I know one change I would make. And that's just for Rob Smith to go back and look at the 2016 tape. And what did he see? You know, what would you find is Minnesota showing six or seven at the line, but only rushing four. Mm-hmm. And the big point I'm trying to make here is right now you're seeing like the 2014, 2015 Minnesota pass rush where it's, you know what, four guys are going to be rushing because they're the four down linemen and the offensive line doesn't have to think, they can just block the human ahead of them. Well, what you saw, especially in 2016, was Jay Savo get creative with who he's sending. Mm-hmm. You walk up six or seven, you only rush four, but you don't. The offensive line doesn't know what for. So they'll see three drop away. But again, as they're trying to decide, they're going to be, you know, a kick step and a half slow. That allows guys like Blake Cashman to get to the quarterback, Steven Richardson, different guys like that. Again, you can still rush four, but just show six or seven. You can drop those guys back into coverage to help out your secondary. Just get creative on how you're presenting those four to this Boilermaker offensive line.
You know, Gopher fans will probably remember most notably the Washington State game where, you know, basically shorthanded the Gophers had arguably one of their best defensive performances. And they did that a lot, to your point, where they walked up six, seven guys and then, you know, usually only dropped or only rushed four. I actually remember the play where they actually lined up like six guys in a single file line, which I thought was kind of humorous. And then ended up bringing, I think, only three on that play. But that, you know, to your point, there are ways to get creative.
Yes,
to, especially pre-snap, right? Because pre-snap, like Derek talks about, there's kind of two facets to a play. There's pre-snap and then there's execution, right? And you have to be able to kind of execute on both to have a successful play.
Exactly. And so you can give help to your secondary, but I'm just asking you to, you know, you know that your front four is struggling. They couldn't sack Max Bortenschlager on 28 pass attempts last week. They didn't really even generate any pressure. And that was with Maryland knowing what four were coming. I trust Rob Smith is a very good defensive mind. So switch it up and to help out your secondary, as you mentioned, that Washington State model. And Washington State is a much better offense and has a much better offensive line than what Minnesota is going to be going against this weekend. But it's kind of along the same lines of that prolific passing attack. So again, you saw Blake Cashman win the MVP of the Holiday Bowl because of the way that Jay Sovell lined him up. Again, just do some different things to kind of screw with the offensive line to help out your secondary, because it'll just help out the entire defense as a whole.
Yeah, so one other thing that I'm kind of impressed with, just statistically looking at Purdue, is the number of receivers that they have that have eight catches or more. Just off the top of your head, Ryan, can you take a guess how many there are?
Five.
They're actually six. There are six receivers with eight catches or more, and then if you go with five, then there are not five or more. There are nine. Conversely, you look at Minnesota. Can you guess how many there are there?
Two, three. No, it'd be three because Philip Howard's probably in the conversation now.
Yeah,
got it. Anyways, yeah. So now you have me curious, and so they have six receivers between 9% and 16% target rate, which should. So what does that mean? It just means they like to spread the ball around.
Well,
now,
actually, Minnesota, I guess technically they really have two with eight targets or more.
I'm talking about the Purdue.
No, yes. But I'm saying for Minnesota. Yeah, sorry, I was wrong. It wasn't three. It was only two.
Yeah. So when you look at this Purdue receiving core, the big name to know that Minnesota is going to have to take care of is Jackson Anthrop. I think an Anthrop has been through Purdue as long as Robbie Hummel has been there, and so we'll have to see how that continues to play out. But Jackson is their leading receiver, 18 catches, 157 yards, and four receiving touchdowns. He's the one name to know there. So Minnesota knows what they have to do on both sides of the ball, and it's all going to be about execution. So we'll have to see how it plays.
Yeah, it's fitting that, you know, Purdue is really back to, I guess maybe they never really left it, but basically basketball on grass, right, where they're going to try and spread everybody out, something that Joe Tiller, who they'll be honoring at this game, the Gophers are actually going to wear a helmet decal. It's kind of fitting that they're back to this and doing it quite well.
Yep, we'll have to see. We will have to see.
All right, so let's get into your keys of the game, and then we can do some score predictions.
Let's do it. I think I've gone through most of them already, but my first key to the game is first half points. Huge for a few different reasons. Number one, two of the best defenders for Purdue are going to miss the first half because of targeting penalties against Michigan from 2 weeks ago. So for an offense that's struggling to capitalize on situations like this, you have to be able to score points in the first half, because I feel pretty confident that Purdue's going to be able to put up 20 plus if Minnesota has the same struggles as last week. And that starts with the running game. I've talked about the statistics that Minnesota has through four games. Six carries of 134 between Rodney Smith and Shannon Brooks have gone over 15 yards. I would love to see six of those in this next game go over 15 yards. We're going to have to see if that works. But Minnesota's got to help out that those two running backs with. We talked about it. Connor Rhoda's either got to start keeping the ball or Kirk Soraka's got to figure out some things there. And Kirk Soraka just in general has to try and figure out a way to attack these stack boxes. And Derek mentioned it. The number one thing to do that with that Minnesota's had success with is play action game. Minnesota's had a lot of time in play action to give Connor Rhoda a clean pocket. Now, if they're going to have seven in the box, that means it's probably cover one, probably cover zero. That means Tyler Johnson has to continue to win 50-50 balls. And guys like Philip Howard, Brandling, and Eric Carter have to help him. Speaking of help, key number two is help out your secondary. We talked about three of the top six from Middle Tennessee being out. That means more reps for guys like Kunle Ayende and Kendarian Handy Holly. Plus, Rob Smith has to really figure out a way to give Antonio Chenault some help because it's evident to every Gopher fan, I mean, everybody watching the game, that the game plan through four games for opposing offensive coordinators is we're going to throw at Chenault all the time, more than any other defensive back. And you saw Maryland have success with that last week. So to do that and to help out your secondary, Minnesota needs to generate pressure, which they haven't been adept at doing here thus far through four games. I talked about a potential solution. We'll have to see how Rob Smith kind of addresses it. Because, again, your front four isn't likely going to be getting any help with an injury-ravaged secondary, but they also need to have their linebackers do something to help out their D-line. So we're going to have to see how that plays out. And then finally, special teams. With a four-point spread for Purdue, means they're basically a one-point favorite. And what, you know, kind of swings these close games? Special teams. Special team needs to be, and my key to the game is special teams needs to be special. Because last week they weren't. And you saw close Big Ten games swing performances when Santoso kicks two out of bounds. Emma Carpenter misses a field goal. Santoso outkicks his coverage. And then in the return game on the final kickoff of the game, screws up. Now, if you're going to win on the road in the Big Ten against a Purdue team, which is probably a 50-50, probably Minnesota should be favored. But again, recency bias has everybody down on Minnesota, everybody up on Purdue. We're going to have to see how that plays out, but special teams really needs to bring it. So those are my three keys, Luke.
All right, so let's get into prediction mode. So the Gophers are going to be playing at Purdue on ESPN2. It's a 2:30 kickoff. As Ryan already alluded to, Purdue is a four-point favorite in this game. The over-under is 46.5 points. And for those that, you know, want the forecast, it's looking like it should be 82 with a chance of rain. Probably right around kickoff time with the greatest chance of rain, with a fairly high wind as well. It's saying right here on Google 23 miles an hour. So, Mr. Burns, would you like to go first or second in your prediction?
I'll go first. So, again, I think Purdue's going to be able to put up points. The question is, can Minnesota match them? And if they're going to be able to match them, I'd hope the running backs are at least able to rattle off a few explosive plays. But I think Purdue's going to be able to put up 20, 24, 28 points. That means Minnesota's offense is going to have to match that and exceed that. Now, I think this is going to be a very close game into the fourth quarter. And I think a late Emmett Carpenter field goal off Carter Coughlin strip sack late in the fourth gives Minnesota the win. A late field goal. Emmett goes 3 for 3. Special teams turns it around. Minnesota wins 30-28. But we're going to have to see. I mean, if they're going to put up 30 and 28 points, they're going to have to be awfully efficient. And again, we'll have to see what the weather does, because if it is raining, you know, you'd have to think that's a plus for Minnesota and a negative for Purdue's passing game. But we'll have to find out. Where are you at, Luke? And then take us out.
Yeah, so given there's going to be some scattered showers, 23 miles an hour wind, and 90% chance of scattered showers, it's so hard. I was leaning Purdue the whole way here. And I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to go, Minnesota 27, Purdue 23. And I do think it'll be close. It's a coin flip for me as well. And this is a game that the Gophers absolutely have to have if they're going to be seeking bowl eligibility. Everybody, thank you for listening. Again, we'll be back again with a breakdown edition probably on Monday evening. Again, if you listen to the podcast, we encourage you to subscribe and rate on iTunes and or Stitcher. That helps other people find us. So again, thank you for listening. Go Gophers.